we were singing that song, I was thinking about this message that I'm preparing to bring. That old, old story is the gospel. Proverbs chapter 21. Turn with me there. Proverbs 21. I'd like to look at verse 20. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. The scripture declares there is treasure to be desired and all in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Man is born with a desire to provide for himself. And in his desire, he seeks to lay aside treasure for a rainy day. He desires to reserve for himself wealth in case of an emergency. Have a slush fund, you know, nest egg. Makes him feel secure. You know, there's nothing wrong with hard work, setting aside some money. Scripture says, though, if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? We want to have some treasure. Want to have something just in case. You never know. But the thing about an earthly treasure, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth, rust, comes, decays. Why is that? Because the scripture says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth is going to pass away. I've said this before. You've heard this before. It's not original with me. Someone dies and someone says, how much did he leave? Answer, all of it. Doesn't matter what you got. You're not going to keep it here. It's not going to stay with you. But the scripture sets forth that there is, according to this scripture, there is treasure to be desired. There is that which is truly treasure. Now, if you were going to ask a man, what do you think is the most valuable thing that a person could ever possess or have knowledge of? What is that which is absolutely essential? Well, it's not whatever a man can produce. I can tell you that. Isaiah 28, we've read this before. Judgment also will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. So I know this, even that which a man thinks that he has provided for himself for his eternal good. I know stuff here on earth not going to stay. I know the money and the land and the things, the mess, the stuff. I know that ain't staying. But what about what a man thinks he's doing for his eternal good? Well, if it's a refuge of lies, then I know that's not going to stay either. So there's got to be something that is more valuable. Hold your place in Proverbs and turn to 2 Corinthians 4. What is the most valuable treasure that a man or a woman could ever possess? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what is that treasure? It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what the treasure is. It's the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's the treasure of having the knowledge by God's grace of who God is, who we are, who He is, who Christ is, what God has done, because Romans 1:16 says this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. When it's all said and done, without a knowledge of who God is, this is life eternal. The Lord said this in His high priestly prayer. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee. Not know that God exists. Everybody knows God exists. We've got a conscience that tells us that. But to know that He is God Almighty, who has mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. He rules in the army of heaven, inhabitants of the earth. Paul the Apostle says, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach our opinions. We don't promote ourselves. But we thankfully and we boldly preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's prophet and priest and king, He who loved His people. This is essential, that we know who God is. He is the distinguishing, almighty God. All is in His hands. None in man. Almighty God declares that He has a people that He's loved everlastingly, and that Christ came into this world to save His people from their sins. Why is it so important that everything is in the hands of God? Why? That man would get no honor. That Almighty God would be exalted as the God of all grace. The gospel is the treasure. And Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How did it get there? God Almighty has shined in our hearts and has given us that knowledge of God's glory in the face, in the character, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revelation from the Lord to the heart. This is the treasure. So our scripture says, There is treasure. There is a gospel that proclaims the glory of God. This is the only message that proclaims the glory of God, that gives Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And every believer loves to have it so. Tell me one more time how Almighty God is God. Tell me again how God chose to show mercy. I love election. I love it. I love it. I love predestination. You know what that means? That means that God determined all of it before the foundation of the world. That means it's always been. Anytime you hear before the foundation of the world, just that's eternal, eternal. Before, it never started. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. What a treasure. A treasure that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And this treasure, according to this scripture right here, there's a treasure to be desired. That treasure, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to be desired. And by the grace of God, there are some that do desire it. They didn't always. There was a time when all of us, till the Lord opened our eyes and shined in our hearts and gave us the knowledge of Christ, there was a time when we thought we desired to hear a message that told us how good we were, how blessed we were that we had given our hearts and but this treasure is to be desired. What desire does a believer have? He desires to hear one more time, you tell me how Christ has redeemed me. What does that mean? He's redeemed me. That means He's paid the cost. He paid the debt. What was owed? What was owed to God's law? Now you think about this. Now we talk about redemption. What did God's law demand to be satisfied? Well, you're not going to obey, because we were conceived in sin, came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. We're liars by birth. We're liars by choice, by practice. What's left? Death. Death. That's what's left. What is the wages of sin? What does the law demand for being broken? Death. Death. But listen to this treasure right here. The gospel sets forth that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? He was made a curse for us. Made Himself sin. That's what the scripture says. He, the Father, hath made Him. What is desired in hearing this treasure? redemption. Tell me again. Tell me again how the Lord redeemed me. Tell me again this sanctification. He has made unto us redemption and sanctification. What does that mean, sanctification? Well, it set apart in holiness, being found in Christ. Tell me again how the Word of God says, because I can't see it. Tell me one more time. Almighty God has set forth that in Christ there is no sin. No sin. Tell me one more time, you're telling me that being found in Him, chosen in Him, that God chose to put me in Him. And Almighty God was pleased to call me out of darkness and give me a new nature. And that new nature, which is born of God, is actually the life of Christ Himself. His seed remaineth in me. That Christ in me is my hope of glory. Yeah. Sanctified me, set me apart, made me in Christ holy. You're telling me that there's a man inside every believer that does not sin. That's what you're telling me? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And though I can't see it, and you that believe, you don't see it either. But I'm thankful it's not what I see. Here's what I'm thankful for. This treasure. Treasure. Tell me again about being justified in Christ. What does that word mean again? Justify, justification. It is the law's declaration, looking upon one born again from above, created in righteousness, true holiness. And the law says, based upon His shed blood and His imputed righteousness, no charge. No charge. No charge. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Paul says concerning this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure, this knowledge of Christ as He is revealed in the good news of the gospel, that gospel that's taught, given, what grace is displayed in this treasure? Frail creatures of dust being the vessels in which such knowledge is kept. God would keep this in this world, in us. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in a weak, frail, needy, earthen vessel. Why? Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was Paul's desire. There's a treasure to be desired. And how did Paul say it? How did he express his desire? Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul and every believer in this room knows Him. Knows Him by faith. Knows Him by grace. But Paul's desire, and ours too, is that desire to become more intimately acquainted with the person of the Lord Jesus. A man, his wife. Glenda and I have been married over 15 years, 15 and a half years, something like that. And you know, I know her now. And truthfully, I can say this, love her more now than I thought I did when we first met. Why? Because I know her. I know her more. You that have been married for years, you think about this. It's taken all these years to know each other. And you, the more you know, the more you know. And the more you know, the more appreciative you are. Paul said, oh, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And through the hearing of the gospel, that treasure, that growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. We know now, we know in part. We see through a glass darkly. We know imperfectly. Oh, but Paul says that I might know him. That I might know the power of that resurrection. You think about this. How much do we really know about the resurrection? The power of the resurrection. Let me say it like that. I mean, here again, devils know he came out of the grave. Everybody knows this. Do you believe Jesus came out of the grave? Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. But Paul said the power of it. The power to know in heart, the wonder and the power, what was accomplished. I know the Father was satisfied. Raised him from the dead. Why? For our justification. But understand what that word means, for. It means because of. Almighty God eternally justified us in Christ who was slain, the Lamb from the foundation of the world. For. And he raised him from the dead because of. That death that put away my guilt. Oh, but when he came out, let me tell you something. There's a promise right there. There's a promise. This body's going to die. Unless the Lord comes back, this body's going to die. And this corruptible is going to put in the ground. But according to his resurrection, it's coming out again. It's not going to stay in the ground. It's going to come out incorruptible, raised, never to die again. Never to die. This body's getting frail, frailer, frailer, frailer. But there's coming a time that when we come out of that ground, we see him as he is going to be like him, know him. Not anymore by faith, by sight, and we'll know him as we're known. Fred, what does that mean? We'll know him as we are known? Paul said, oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. That I may know in power what that resurrection promises. What the Lord has reserved, prepared for those that love him. Enter in to all that was prepared for you, that I may know and be found thankful, to share in his sufferings. Not that we'd ever suffer as he did, but the apostle sets forth that we have fellowship in the sufferings as we die to this world. There's something in a believer that is becoming more and more tired of this world. You think, this ain't my home. All that I ever thought gave me pleasures disappointed me. And we consider the hatred of this world to be an honor to suffer for his name's sake, finding more and more the sufficiency of his grace to keep us. And in the fellowship of his sufferings, by faith we share and we know by faith it's not going to be forever. I know there's a treasure, and it's a treasure to be desired. How did we get it? Well, Scripture says there's oil. There's a treasure to be desired and oil. This treasure that is to be desired is gotten one way. One way. Almighty God must bestow it. Give it. That oil, that word oil, means an anointing, a richness, a blessing to become fat. Now, I know in this age we're in, nobody likes that word fat, you know. But that word right there means abundance, blessing. David spoke, Psalm 23:5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest, thou make me fat, my head with oil." Poured out the blessing of the gladness of God's Spirit. Listen to this, Psalm 45:7. "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." This treasure that is desired, that must be given, but it's given by God's distinguishing grace. He who has the right to give it or withhold it. Hold your place right there and turn with me as I wrap this up. Luke 10. Luke 10. I've read this story. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Luke 10. Luke 10. So I'm going to read from verses 17 to 21. Luke 10:17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now what a blessing. Now that's a blessing. Now listen to this. "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Now that's where you rejoice. But listen to the next verse. "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." The Lord said, while you're rejoicing, I want you to remember something. I give you power. Tread on scorpions and serpents and stuff. That's what's happening right now. As we preach the gospel, these scorpions and serpents of demonic activity and lies, he said, but I'll tell you where you rejoice. You rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How did they get there? God was pleased to put them there before the foundation of the world. That book of life that everybody talks about, you know, whenever someone gives their heart to Jesus, that'll name, that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says those names were written before the foundation of the world. And then the Lord said, Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed these unto babes. That oil, how did we get the knowledge that is to be desired? The knowledge of the glory of God. How did we get it? God Almighty must anoint us with it. Pour it out. And then, lastly, this treasure, this rest, this glorious gospel is found only in Christ. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Now let me ask you this. Where is the dwelling of the wise? It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's found in Him. The rest of the soul is found only as a man is found to be in the city of refuge himself. In Christ. In Him. He'd chosen us in Him. Every time I try to explain that, Chuck, I'm so inadequate. I know it means in unity with. I know that. I know it's dwelling in Him. But to be found in Him, to be found in the dwelling of the wise, how long have the wise, those that have been made so in regenerating grace, how long have they been found in Christ? Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Always been there. Always there. In Him when He came into this world. In Him, still in Him. I love what I've said this, Brother Scott said this, where God puts a man, that's where God keeps a man. Put him in Christ and kept him there. When he lived, we lived. When he obeyed, we were obeying. Whenever he died, we died in him. Whenever he was buried, we were buried with him. Whenever he rose, we rose. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. But my understanding of what is not what makes it true. God's Word's what makes it true. When He ascended, we ascended. He's seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we're seated with Him. Yeah, but we're still on this earth. I know. But we're in Him. Where is this treasure? It's a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But let me tell you the last sentence of this verse. But a foolish man spendeth it up. He makes a way with it to destroy it. Desires to cover it. Desires to make an end of it. And a believer, though he knows that Almighty God is going to do as He will, with whom He will, when He will, a believer desires men to come to Christ and knows that but for the grace of God, they're going to treat it with disrespect and dishonor and have nothing to do with this glorious message. My prayer this morning, may the Lord give us a heart to behold by grace, by faith, Christ, who is revealed to be the treasure, set forth in his gospel, the treasure that gives all found in the dwelling of the wise hope, life, peace, joy. There is a treasure to be desired, a treasure that is given in anointing grace to all that are found dwelling in Christ the wise. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take